Today's sermon, entitled Another Point of View, I would like to add to that a parenthesis, which would say something like this: by faith or by sight? I wanted to just say that before I start, that when they were talking about the fathers being wise or not, one of the most important things for us is that we, as children, how do you remember when you were growing up, when you were kids, you try to do everything possible to make your father proud, right? Even if you didn't play good baseball, you did your best. That was probably my case, your best to make him proud. And I think that we all want to make our heavenly father proud of us, don't we? And that's what I'm trying to focus on today. But before we go into our sermon, we need to think about that gospel reading, or that reading that Catherine just had at this moment, and ask ourselves, well, then how do we walk? Do we walk by faith, or do we walk by sight? And then, if you notice, there were other questions that we could ask ourselves according to this reading. Is our home with the body? Or is our home with the Lord? And then you might also try to ask yourself if it's the way that we actually encounter and consider and treat other people, and even sometimes judge. Is it by face, by what we see, or is it by the heart? With that in mind, let's start by thinking about by faith or by sight. In verse 7, Paul says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And who do you think he is referring to in this, in all this? Who's we? Who? Wake up now! The church, right? It's the church. He is talking about us. Most people actually advocate walking by sight. That's the only way to walk. Have you? Well, it's kind of true in some point, right? Is it easy to walk without seeing where you're going? Some people do, but it's because they have to live with being sometimes, if they're blind, they find another way to get around. But sight is pretty important for those who want to walk and not stumble. With our eyes, we see the path before us. Our eyes keep us from stumbling, from falling, from getting hurt. It is our eyes which keeps us from walking off a cliff. We live day by day by day by sight. Many will then conclude because of this that only that what we see, that what we touch, only that is real. In the church, however, we suggest that there is more to this world than that we just see, than that meets our eyes. You know, there's a lot of philosophers out there. And the philosophers, if philosophers conclude that we're not just a brain in a container, right? That we're just people who are following our senses, we, the church, should be able to say without any problem or hesitation that we don't live by sight alone, but we live by faith. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because we believe there's something more to life than what we see. Some people then insist that they don't believe in anything they can't see or touch. Go ahead and touch your neighbor. Pat him on the shoulder, that, and show him all your teeth while you're there. Smile. They can't see and they can't touch it. It must not be real. Did you feel your neighbor? Did you see him? Could you see him? How many of you are breathing right now? Did you see the wind? Did you see the air? But it's there. It is there. And all this thought about if I don't see and touch, I can't believe, that seems to make sense until we realize that walking only by sight means we will never begin to understand. We will never believe in some things that you cannot see, you cannot experience like that, like love, faith, hope. Some might say you could see these things. Sometimes you can't. But it's there. Hallelujah. Those things cannot be touched or seen all the time. You can see some of our faith. We can live like we have a lot of faith. And you could show that. But sometimes we don't know. And a person does have a lot of faith. There's more to life than what we see and what we touch. Paul suggests we walk by faith and not by sight. There's something else I'd like to bring to this conversation, to this sermon today. One of the things that the passage was talking to us about was our home. If it's in the body or if it's with the Lord. When people ask me, where do you live or where is your home? I normally say 90 East Row Boulevard, Patchogue. That's where my house is. That's the place where I go and sleep every night. But is that really where my home is? I like the saying that I often have seen in bumper stickers or in refrigerators that they put on those magnetic things that says, home is where your heart is. Home is where your heart is. Paul says, my home is now. At that time when he was talking about this passage, my home is now in the body. But my real home is with the Lord. Hallelujah. In Philippians 1:23-24, he says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart, to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. For Paul, his home, his heart was really with God. Where is your home? Where is your home, my friends? And you see, Paul was not necessarily at home when he was writing this. Do you know where he was at? He was in prison. He was in the colony of I have a problem with this, and I would say it in Spanish because it's easier for me. Philippi, or something like that. Filipense. It was said to be an outpost of Rome. He wasn't in his home, necessarily. A prison doesn't seem like a home to me, Catherine. Paul takes then this idea, and he suggests that we are to make our place where we're at on earth as much like heaven as we can. Hallelujah. So by the way, we can all be practicing where we're going to end up right now, here, now. Hallelujah. Our real citizenship lies in the kingdom of God. We are here on earth, but we are citizens of heaven. Our home is with the Lord. Our calling is to make this area where we're at now, this area around us here, a little bit more like heaven. in the way that we live, in the way that we live for Christ, in the way that we portray our faith, in the way that we well represent our God. This is the way we're supposed to live in the here and now, as if we were already there, but not yet. Hallelujah. Our home is with the Lord, not in the body. Lastly, how is it that we consider others? Have you ever thought about that? And I'm saying consider because I don't want to use the word judge, because sometimes we do that too. We judge. How do we do this considering other people? Do we do it by what their face or their exterior kind of shows us? Or do we do it by considering their heart? The end of verse 12 reads, "So that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart." In the literal meaning of the phrase, outward appearance, it means the face, the face. But the question is, do we judge people by the face or by the heart? How are we doing this, my friends? Do we live by outward appearance ourselves, or do we live by the heart? The Bible tells us in many places that God judges by the heart, because this exterior cast, this thing on the outside, sometimes says something else than what we're feeling in the inside. And you might be really mistaken if you go by what you just see. And sometimes we're not giving the children of God the opportunity to be blessed because we're just judging them and not giving them the opportunity to feel the love of Christ through our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm almost finishing. If I don't hear too many amens, I'll keep on going for at least 2 more hours. Amen. Hallelujah. I knew that would get you. Our faith. This is the last thing I want to talk about. Our faith is a faith of the heart. Hallelujah. We are called to look at the heart of other people. And we are called to live by the heart. We are called then, as we learned, to live by faith and not by sight. And what does that really mean? That means we live by God's guidance day by day. By day. I want to recommend, I really do, I want to recommend living by the heart, but be careful. Be very careful. I have to say this with caution, because there are those who have committed murder suggesting that God spoke to their hearts and told them to do that. And sometimes we do what we want, and then we blame God for it. Somebody say, Hallelujah. We mix up our desires and God's desires. Our heart, my friends, it can be trusted as long as our hearts are anchored in Christ. It can be trusted. There has to be some kind of standard to guide our emotions. You see, an abandoned ship just left there in the water is just an object, a big object that the wind can come over and it can move it all the way. It can take it anywhere. Anywhere the wind blows. But if it's anchored, and I know that, oh, there she is. When it's anchored, She knows a little bit about ships, this lady that I'm seeing right here. If it's anchored, it could be moved by the winds, and it will move even in circles and circles and circles, but it won't go far away from where it was anchored. And where are you anchored? Because you might be blown by the winds of trial and tribulation, and life sometimes is hard, and you may be thinking, wow, I'm moving all over the place. I'm all over the place, but you have that anchor. You are anchored in Christ, and Christ is with you. And no matter where that wind blows and where it takes you, you're still safely anchored. Oh, hallelujah to Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're anchored in Christ. You will never be far away from the place where you're anchored. Paul would say for us to anchor our hearts in Jesus and in his death on the cross. And you know, when this happens, we no longer live just only for ourselves, but for him who died, for him who was raised, then we desire to live to please God instead of just ourselves. Our hearts are just organized different, you see? They're organized different because it's organized by the love of Christ. Therefore, we lead lives of sacrifice and even service to others, Natalie. Hallelujah. We live for God. How many love to live for God? Amen? Amen? Because of the cross, we see things differently. We simply do not think the same as everybody else, or perceive, or assess, or judge in the way we did before, because something has changed in our hearts. It's God who has taken over. He's the boss now. Hallelujah. Christians are transformed by the power of the cross. And Paul concludes, and I will conclude also, in verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. What was that creation? Was it old?
New
creation. Everything old has passed away. And this is what I want to say about that one. There are things that you might be hanging on to right now. I don't know who it is. But you have to let it go. Because God wants you to grow spiritually. And you're holding on to something that you should not be holding on to. Because God makes everything new, and he wants to give you another opportunity to make your life new. But you're still holding on to something. You have to let it go. Look into the big eyes of the pastor. You have to let it go. You have to let God transform you, because he's making everything new. Everything has become new. Our hearts have been transformed. That transformation begins in the heart, and it works, and it works, and it works its way through all of our lives. Let that happen. May God bless you. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you. Specifically, Lord, I thank you for the hard time I've had since I woke up this morning. The printer didn't work. The time was bad. And I was grouchy. And I just knew that it was because it was going to be a victorious day. And that the enemy wanted to put things in the way. Hallelujah. But you were ready for me. You were ready for us. And you have delivered a message that I can feel in my heart that is still stirring in the hearts of the people here. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask your Holy Spirit to take over. And whoever came here saddened, whoever came here with a heavy load on their lives, that they can feel the touch of your Holy Spirit right now, and that they can feel your transformation and your new creation in their lives right now. Lord, I thank you because you are here with us, and you help us to look at things with another point of view. Thank you for letting us look through your eyes. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and your children all say, Amen. Amen. God bless you all.